Hey, you know what? I have to apologize for the last show. I made a grave error. Are you ready?
It happens.
Hear this apology?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you down on your knees?
You were telling me about hops being toxic and all that stuff. And man, you're totally right. It looks like hops is like an antibiotic to kill the germs that could be growing and competing with the yeast. It's like one of the first earlier pesticides and antibiotics. It's something Monsanto would have loved to have. You know, it's about as toxic as DDT to a dog. It'll kill a dog. Right. To humans, it's about three times less toxic. But it's definitely a poison, and it was illegal as of about 1500 AD. It was some countries made it pass laws to make it illegal. It was considered an evil plant. And now we hear different beer companies saying, oh, hops is so, we always look for the most wonderful hops. And, you know, and they, it shows them out in the field smelling these hops. And it looks like it's just a toxic substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so they don't have to worry about, it's like, you know, in wine they have sulfites.
That's right.
Sulfites are there to kill everything except the yeast. And it's not really a natural way to do wine, but it helps ensure that they don't make bad wine. But it doesn't ensure they make good wine. And hops is the same thing, but they use that for beer. It's a toxic substance.
That's right. Well, we were chatting about that on last week's podcast. Earlier on, and this was stuff that I looked at quite a while ago on hops, and it's definitely something there. But you know, it's not something I've discussed a lot with people. But I did have a great article from Red Ice. But I just can't find it anymore on this exact subject and some studies that were done with the hops. And I couldn't find it. So I like to bring up what I'm talking about so we can go through it. But I just couldn't find that anymore. But I'm glad you looked into it a little bit, because you were saying, oh, it's probably the chemicals and that. But everyone that I've spoken to, you know, and I know in Australia there's not any chemicals or preservatives or additives or anything in the beer. And I know the Germans are like that as well. They're very strict. And anyone I've spoken to has been to Germany, they said they have the most purest beer.
But they use...
And I've contacted some German beer makers, and they're non-GMO, and they're family sort of run companies, and they grow, you know, the hops and barley and malt, and you know, they get deep water, and sometimes you know, this very clean water they use. And so I couldn't see any kind of baddies there, but so I was solely looking at the hops. So I'm glad you looked into that,
right?
A little bit. I thought that might interest you.
It does.
But I didn't save much, so I couldn't send it to you, and then I forgot. So you've brought it up again, which is great.
Yep, hops is a bad thing. I don't know if you were saying that. I think you were saying that, something like that.
Well, yeah.
They have laws limiting the amount of hops you can have in beer, but I found laws that say you can't have it in beer at all.
Well, you can see there on the Google search the world-famous purity law for German beer of 1516. So the Germans actually enacted this German purity beer law. I don't think it's actual law today, but a lot of beer makers still run by it. But one other thing was they came in because beer used to be made out of many things. I don't think hops was originally obviously used to make beer. But when this law came in, it was essential that hops were used in beer making as part of this law. And so I'm wondering if that was part of it, if they knew. because the, as I said, in that article, I was saying the women that were picking the hops in the fields, they noted they were menstruating and stuff. And the article I had was on obviously the men getting the beer bellies and the boobs and everything and the prostate enlargement, even cancers and stuff for that hops is causing massive problems in right. men who drink beer.
But the purity law is really an anti-purity law because it's mandating hops.
That's right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They made it so you had to brew with hops.
Well, you know,
when hops were never in beer originally.
It's the same thing with hot dogs. You're not allowed to call a hot dog if it doesn't have, sodium nitrate or potassium nitrite in it. You know that?
Mm.
Maybe they changed it now, but if you had an organic hot dog, you're not allowed to call it a hot dog. Now that's
right.
That's also probably comes from the German tradition.
It's really funny thing, but you got to really dig. And the funny thing that I was talking about this to my dad over last Christmas, that I've had enough because I don't like hoppy beers because they're too bitter and I get stomach gas and bloating from those. And it's a real problem. I actually get in pain if I have these hoppy beers. And I've noticed, I know in America, what they call a type of beer is an IPA. That's the most popular beer in the United States and also in Australia. If I have beer, I like more darker, malt-driven beers, but they're all being replaced now with these extreme hop-driven beers because they get that fruity, hoppy character out of them. And I think because it's a hot country here, people like those really bitter, hoppy beers. But I think they're causing a lot of health problems in men and also with the what we were talking about with the feminizing, with the estrogen.
Sure.
Mimicking effects as well, like soybeans and stuff. So I think this is actually a toxic substance.
Sure, sure.
Used. And anyone can have a look at the history of hops if you can dig it up. It's very, very powerful. From what I know, the most powerful that's causing the problem in the men. And people say it's a myth and it's what you eat. But I really think that, especially men as they hit their late 30s to 40s, when your metabolism slows down and stuff, I think the beer is causing the huge beer stomachs and health problems and prostate enlargement.
I agree. Well. I agree. You know, I don't drink at all. I don't drink any beer or anything. And about I remember when I first started hanging out at jazz clubs because I wanted to hear the music. You know, I'd go to the Village Gate, the famous jazz club, and I would sit there and I would nurse a little beer all night, like over 4 hours, I would drink half a beer, right? And I would do this just once a week. But I noticed that I was getting a gut. I was getting a little beer gut. Not much, but see, I'm a very thin person, but I did notice I was getting a beer gut just from like a half a beer a week, you know, because I knew there was something... I knew there was something weird about beer, you know?
Yeah, that's right. The article I read was on feminizing men as well. So European men drinking a lot of beer, becoming more feminine.
Yeah, but I wouldn't let that override necessarily the rising levels of EMF and ultrasound and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it all being... merged together, but I mean, what I guess I could say is way back then when they enacted that German purity law in regards to beer, did they know?
Yeah, probably so. I know they did, but that's what, because it was already made illegal by the 1500.
Yeah, but they made it so you had to brew with it.
No, some countries made it illegal that you couldn't use it at all and for any purpose in food. That about the same time, there were some countries saying you can't use it. And I think in order to protect the beer industry, maybe Germany enacted this so-called fake purity law in order to mandate hops, you know?
So what do you think of that article about the hop, the hoppy ales containing phytoestrogens, compounds naturally occurring in plants as well? man boobs or moobs. Bruise droop.
So half of men get moobs?
Well, you do notice it. Yeah, you do notice
half
it.
Of all men have moobs?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Men love their beer, Jim.
Wow. Well, I do know a beer drinker, and I know he's got some little boobies there.
I've spoken to friends, yeah. Yeah, I was a beer drinker. I've drip beer drinker for years, just trying to get off it. But I've had friends who say when they've got off it, they lost the weight very fast.
Wow.
I mean, working a while ago with young guys who like to go out and have a drink, and I know they're, what do you say, are spirit drinkers, like bourbon and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't touch beer. They're all very thin, but every time I meet beer drinking guys, they're all got the beer guts.
And the boobs.
Yeah, especially after 40, and they get married and kids and they slow down a bit and get stuck in the work. They become quite nearly obese.
Well, you know, when I was a kid before the era of fluorescent light bulbs in all the offices, which are high EMF, you know, I mean, I didn't notice any titties on men or anything, you know. But then I didn't see a lot of men with their shirt off either. But, you know, you'd see people with their shirt off around the neighborhood and all that. I don't remember men with titties. That's more of a recent phenomenon.
Yeah. Man bras.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's always been the case. I think man tits is more of an EMF component in terms of causation, you know, because there are studies that show that that men have a gender dysphoria. They forget, they lose their sense of manhood, you know, from different toxicities, exposure, you know.
It's
And they also started noticing epidemics of this. The first time I heard about it was epidemics in Puerto Rico among young men having titties. That's the first time I read about it, about 20 years ago. So it might be related to pesticides and EMF. And you know, I never heard about this. I read a lot. You know, I never heard about it until maybe 20 years ago. Man boobs.
You can see here the hidden side effects of hops in beer, but you know a lot of beer drinkers get angry and they don't want to accept any of this or look into it.
Oh, they don't believe it?
Yeah, well, you know, beer is something people enjoy very much, and they think, well, it's a pretty fairly natural product being fermented, and you got the malt and the hops and the barley and the yeast and being what 90% water, that it's not too bad. Which I guess that's true, but. Everything needs to be looked at. You can see here are hops responsible for many health problems we're seeing today. I don't know. I don't know about this. I can only read out what they're saying. They're saying tooth decay and sluggishness and erectile dysfunction and all this. And saying 99% of all beers list hops as an ingredient. Just 100 grams of hops, about 3.5 ounces, contains anywhere from 30,000 to 300,000 IUs of estrogen.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of hops used. Estrogen. And
okay, so look at this.
Until 2016, they required it with the German Purity Act. It required hops to replace medicinal herbs found in beers. The penalty for making impure beer was confiscation without compensation.
Yeah. It looks like the word man boobs was not ever used in books until around 1975.
Yeah. Well, so.
I just checked it. The Google has a what they call an n-gram viewer, which is a word history. A phrase history going back to 1800. Let's see if that goes. I want to see what the history of the word moobs is.
Show us those man boobies.
I don't even know if it had the same meaning, but it seemed to be mainly started to be mentioned around 1850. That's actually when the big pesticide era began. And then the word, the technical name is gynecomastia, and that began to be talked about around 1910. And then it started to really get heavy around 1950, 1960. But before 1910, the word gynecomastia was never used. And moobs had a major use in books around 1850, 1860. That was the greatest mention of it. And that's when pesticides entered the commercial agricultural scene. Arsenic was 1868. And we have here around 1850, as we're entering into that era, the use of the word moobs. That's where it was used more than any time in history. The word moobs was 1850. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
It looks like a pesticide phenomenon. That's why the first time I ever heard about it was coming from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rican children, young boys having titties. I'm not saying beer hops don't have something to do with it. I'm sure they do. But it looks like right now I'm seeing a big association with the pesticide history, you know?
Anyone?
You can do the research yourself. All you do is type in engram, which is a Google engram, which is a word history viewer. And you type in the word moobs or gynecomastia or whatever. You get the history of these words.
People can email to the Krasfiles at mail.com if you know anything about this, about German bees. Are they absolutely pure? Do they use pesticides on the ingredients grown for the beer in Germany?
I would think unless they call it organic beer, they probably use it for the wheat.
Well, yeah, wheat shouldn't be in beer unless it's a wheat beer.
Well, what kind of a grain? Barley?
I think it's just hops.
No, hops is just a part of it.
Hops, malt, yeast.
Malt. It's malt. Malt comes from barley.
In Australia, they tend to use barley a little bit. Like in America for Budweiser and stuff, they use rice. Japanese beers will use rice as well, which you might get them. I don't know if it makes it sweeter, but you're not supposed to do that, and not wheat either.
Some,
you know, in Australia they roast the malted barley and stuff, so you get that.
Okay, so it is basically malted barley with hops and yeast and water.
Yeast and water, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not organic, unless it says so.
That's right. Just in regards to this Purity Beer Act, just wondering with the spraying of the crops, if anyone knows anything about that.
Here it says here that Monsanto uses Roundup, advocates Roundup, and that it is contaminating beer in the
United States. Yeah, that's right.
And it says it's contaminated in the U.S., although it is banned in Germany. So it's called pre-harvest Roundup in order to force the plant into full maturation so they don't have to run the harvesting machines multiple times.
Well, yeah, that's a thing you bring up there. I mean, most popular beer nowadays. I mean, they brew it so fast for the consumer, so much of it so quickly. That can't be natural.
And they do it. They want every grain to be mature at the same time, so they poison the plant with Roundup. And that's why we have so-called gluten inflammation. It's really Roundup.
But it's interesting looking at that article that I got up before that was enacted about the other things used. They use medicines for beer to carry it throughout the body. dandelion stems, burdock root. They're used in beer. And they're saying that the hops are causing the hangovers. So I don't know if that's true.
Could
be. Without the hops in the beer, you don't get the hangover when you drink the beer.
Well, do you get a hangover? You get a hangover from wine.
Yeah, well, if you don't drink water. If you're drinking all night and you're drinking something like wine, yeah, it can be heavier. If you are drinking water or equal amounts of water, it does help you stop from getting hangover. But if you drink water in the morning, it won't do anything.
Well, you know, beer is mostly water anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if you are very thirsty and dehydrated, one beer can help very much. But it's when you start drinking 5 or 6 or 7 or 10, I guess.
I think I would avoid any beer that has hops in it, you know.
That's right.
You know. And that's most beers, probably.
Says here, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, hops have been shown to contain one of the most potent in vitro, i.e. test tube, estrogenic substances known from the plant kingdom.
Right. But that's... see, that's a very popular way to blame boobs, is to blame it on beer, which I'm sure it does cause it, but it's also a way of drawing attention away from pesticides and the EMF, you know. If they should balance those discussions like we are.
Yeah, it just that's what is a sticking point for me, the German purity law, that they even bothered to bring that in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking at Europe too, and... was it designed to kind of for?
Now here, a guy says that his wife is apparently allergic to hops because she gets headaches and a rash. When she drinks beer with hops.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, but she already has tits, so it wouldn't be giving her tits.
The only beer that I've found nowadays is less gluten or gluten free beer. But there's nothing about the hops. It seems to be very, very well hidden.
Oh, see, that's going to piss the German beer makers off if that German... I'm sure they don't have to follow that purity law anymore, right?
No, it's not really. It's just they put it on the bottles and the cases of beer that they do it.
Yeah.
There's that thing there, Jim. German beer makers observed that young women farmhands who picked hops in fields would often fall asleep on the job and would begin menstruation much earlier than similar aged young women not working in the hop fields.
Huh. It says before
14. If you have a beer, it makes you very sleepy.
It says here before 1400, beer was made without hops.
That's right.
Yeah.
They used to use it with, that's what I was saying before, with other herbs like burdock and dandelion to carry it throughout the body.
Right. But it's easier for the manufacturer to make it with hops because they can kill the bacteria, the foreign bacteria, which are, they're unruly and uncontrollable.
But it says here it's rare to become sleepy when drinking unhopped beers, and you do become sleepy. You have a beer in the day, you feel like you've got to go to bed.
Yeah, right.
It's a strange thing. Yeah, and this is in the plant kingdom, a very powerful medicine.
Huh. So like the beers without hops are the German beer Aventinus. A hardwired nitro, double Samuel Adams, double Bock, session lager.
I love double Bock.
Allagash White is a Belgian beer. They're the Chimay Blue, dark ale, the Vienna lager, Devil's Backbone, Dirty Bastard, Founders Brewing. Anderson Valley. Well, these are all not your common names. Wisconsin, Belgian Red, the Kimmy, Southern Pecan, English Brown Ale, Andesher Weisser Beer, Hell. That's it. But they probably have more, but that's 12 of them.
Those don't have any hops.
No hops, yeah. They sound delicious. I want to have a beer without hops.
Me too. As I said, I love the double box. There's some coming out of New Zealand. They use five or six different types of malts.
Yeah, I love the malty beer. Yeah,
you get that. I love that, but I can't buy it anymore. It's all everybody wants these hoppy beers, Jim. I can't even finish a bottle. I feel like my stomach's turned into a volcano.
But people like it.
They love it. They love the hoppy IPA beers here now. And so a lot of the darker malty beers, they're all disappeared.
This reminds me of the people who love Diet Coke, you know.
That's right.
They prefer it over regular Coke, you know.
It tastes like medicine-y taste. It's terrible.
Well, it's poisonous as hell. It's super poisonous, but they prefer it, you know.
Might as well. Yeah, it's like chewing on a chemical weapon.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I used to work in a supermarket at night just stacking shelves, Jim, and I couldn't believe these guys were bringing in, you know, 8 pallets of soft drinks, and it was all that stuff, diet stuff, and it was gone the next day. It was gone.
Huh.
They just guzzle it, and it's highly addictive, more addictive than the sugar ones.
Wow.
That's a U.S.
An AWS certification.
Invention, isn't it?
It's what kind of an invention?
U.S. military. That's what I heard from Alex Jones. He was saying something about that it was the waste expelled by E. coli. That's where they got the aspartame from, the artificial sweetener.
Oh, that's pretty weird.
Mm. Donald Rumsfeld had something to do with bringing it in.
Well, he was an executive with a major pharmaceutical company, and in order to get aspartame to be legal,
aspartame.
He appointed as the head of the FDA, I believe. Anyway, one of those big government agencies, and just long enough to pass a law that allowed aspartame to be legal, and to hide any science that found it to be bad, and then he left the government. He was just brought in like I think by the Bush administration, probably pressured by industry to make aspartame legal. You know,
you can see that in aspartame. Patent reveals E. coli feces used. The European patent for aspartame is now available online, and it confirms the artificial sweetener is made from the waste products of genetically modified E. coli bacteria.
Is that what it is?
They are modified to produce an especially large peptide used to create aspartame.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's like the...
It's a weapon. It's a weapon.
It's like the
people
are
guzzling it.
Yeah, it's the essence of crap.
That's right. And they're making you drink it.
Purified essence of crap.
Yeah. Artificial sweetener. It's an amazing thing. There you go, from Natural News. That was 2013. Patent confirms aspartame is excrement of GM bacteria.
Yeah, and these bacteria are the major component of animal waste.
That's right. Sickening stuff. And I noticed that way back in the 80s, in some of the big American movies, they were already pushing the Pepsi. Diet Pepsi and all that. It was definitely planned. They had it. It was amazing to see it rolled out onto the public. I actually know of people who are addicted to this stuff. They need a couple of liters or so a day. You know, they go nuts if they don't get it.
Wow. Well, that's pretty crazy.
Disgusting stuff, but it's you go into the supermarket and it's just wall to wall that stuff. Diet stuff, but I think in general people are woken up to it now. And,
yeah, but you know what's strange is that even when they wake up to it, they want it. I knew a guy.
They want it more.
I knew a guy who was intelligent, you know, and all that. He was a talented trumpet player, classical trumpet player, and he would drink a half gallon of Diet Coke every day. And I said, you know, that stuff is really bad for you, right? And he said, yeah, you know, but I really like it. You know, I love the feeling. You know. You know, like, I guess people like being poisoned, you know?
Yeah, they do.
You know, and so it make you know, you kill yourself trying to wake people up, and then you realize, wait a minute, they like it. They like being beaten and poisoned.
Well, we were talking about this maybe a week or so ago. It seems silly, but on you were mentioning a ultrasound YouTube video that was so important. You know, we were talking about the farting and stuff. And,
farting?
And, you know, we're talking about the people on YouTube who go on there and do farts, and they've got like 3 million hits and 5 million hits.
Right.
And you've got all these important videos. We've got a YouTube video in Australia made by Bernie over at truthlibrary.info. Great work, Bernie. I'll give him a plug. And he made a video exposing Victorian Health Minister Jill Hennessy lying on national television about being attacked by the anti-vaccination community, that they were sending her all these tweets and messages threatening her, and she got up on national television and lied.
What country?
And, in Australia.
Oh, it's the Australian Health Minister.
Yeah. She got up and lied about being attacked by mums and dads in the anti-vaccination movement, and it's proven in this video on YouTube. It only had 200 hits, and I've been pushing it, and I think we're nearly at 1,000 now, but it's been a lot of work.
I read it.
This woman needs to be sacked or investigated and sacked.
Yeah.
And it's absolute 150% proof on this video that she's a liar and she lied to the Australian people, and we're trying to push this video. And then you go on there and there's people doing a fart gym and there's 6 million views.
Right.
And I think, my God.
Right.
No,
right.
How are we going to do this?
I think in order to sell politics to people, you have to, the headline has to be largest fart in the world. And it's then depressing. You show a picture of the health minister.
That's right. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Right. So that's the way you have to work it. Otherwise, they're not going to be interested.
It's like I was on YouTube a couple of weeks ago, and it was showing me the top videos. They just get recommended to you. And it's this girl, it's all set up, and she's in the room, and she's put fake blood on the sheets everywhere. So she's just had her period and she's lying in there, and the boyfriend comes in, knocks on the door, and he comes in, and then he lies in the bed and he's like, what? And then he opens the sheet and there's all this blood, but it's like a joke.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the kind of material they're putting out now. And there's a whole bunch of them. And right. There's millions of hits on here. And I'm like, my God, man, is this what people are logging onto YouTube to watch? This nasty, sick behavior from these demented freaks?
Well, it just seems like a waste of time, you know. If it was funny, it could be funny, but I don't see the...
That's funny?
I don't see it being that funny, you know.
But throwing fake blood all over the bed?
Yeah.
It's crazy lunatics.
Yeah.
I'm not angry over anything. I'm just making a point. I'm just saying.
I know.
I sent that to you to make a point because it's unbelievable. You can go on and type people farting on YouTube and there's millions of hits.
Yeah.
But we have to work our asses off to get stuff out. And I know a lot of bigger alternative websites and media platforms putting out really incredible YouTube videos and, you know, might get a few thousand.
Yeah.
But when you compare to these silly videos of people making clowns of themselves, it's amazing. It really amazes me. And I think, well, maybe we could think, you know, with China, India, with billions of people, they kind of like that stuff. Maybe it's them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know, Jim. Maybe Chinese think that's funny.
I think there's a general trend of misery, I think, now in society. Really miserable people.
Here we go.
And I think that like the millennial generation, you know, there's probably more misery there than, I mean, there used to be misery in my generation, but it was usually like war. You would be miserable in war, but then they kill you. But here you're miserable, but they don't kill you. They just leave you half alive. So you just have a lot of miserable people in society.
God knows.
You know? I've been watching some of these YouTube videos of, you know, like Yale University. Some professor was like publicly attacked verbally, but threatened physically, you know, all because of these spoiled brat students, you know. They're very miserable and they want to blame all their pain on whatever professor they can find, you know, and they want to blame it on anybody except themselves, you know.
And That's right, because they're too lazy to be even bothered anymore.
But this is the ultrasound generation. They've all been radiated. That's right. You know, I don't know if they have any. They have no intellectual courage. They all have the. But that's really something for another talk show, because we're getting far off the hops.
I didn't know we were going to do a show about hops. I didn't know.
I know. I didn't know either. But we did it.
Well, it's unplanned. You know, unscripted.
Yeah.
Real talk show podcasting. Anyway, yeah, this is, it's, you know, but as we always talk about, the ultrasound is the initial poisoning, isn't it? And there's, you know, right the way through our lives, if you start researching, it's a black hole of poisoning.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you can't get to the end of it.
Yeah, it is a black hole.
You can see that article there, Jim, Donald Rumsfeld and the Strange History of Aspartame.
That's right.
I can send you that. It's remarkable when you read about their research they did on it initially, but they still allowed it.
Yeah. Well, they made it punishable by like 25 years in jail if you reveal aspartame science. You know?
That's right.
I mean, how sick is that? Isn't that crazy?
Oh, God. Chemical additive aspartame is very potentially a cancer and brain tumor-causing substance.
Yeah.
Mr. Rumsfeld, Donald Rumsfeld, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. What a great legacy.
Yeah. Now, why doesn't somebody like that go to jail?
No, never.
You know, all government does is... assist these people. It's another argument against government, you know, where, well, government has taken over and used as a tool for the most evil things here. I guess without government, this would happen without a problem, but by having a government, it forced them to reveal their evil as they did their evil.
Jesus, yeah, they're absolutely unbelievable. They're saying their aspartame was rejected for sale multiple times over fears of brain tumors and cancer.
Yeah.
And then you see all these people involved, and it goes way back, you know. It's amazing. I can also, with the podcast, Jim, put up any links we're talking about as well for folks, which I think is a good idea. They'll just be clickable links at the bottom of the usual Nightwatch podcast.
Yeah.
So people can read anything that we've discussed as well if we're not showing it. You know, aspartame, unbelievable. Headache, memory loss, seizures, visions loss, coma, cancer.
Yeah.
Mimics diseases. That's what's interesting, isn't it? The mimicking of disease and conditions.
Yeah.
MS, lupus, ADD, diabetes, Alzheimer's, chronic fatigue, depression.
My dad was getting glaucoma, right? And he was really worried, and he used to use aspartame like as a syrup on his pancakes and in his tea, God, his coffee, everything. And I was trying to convince him, look, like this equal? Stuff is poison, you know. That's why you're losing your eyesight, you know. And he used to laugh
right.
at me. He would laugh at me, right? He would never read what I gave him. And really arrogant stupidity, right? So what I did is on his birthday, I sent him an email that started off rather poetically, and it steered him into these like nude pictures of women, you know, and then all building up to his happy birthday present. And then I showed him a big headline, aspartame found by scientists to cause glaucoma, you know. And that was the way I ended it, you know. So I suckered him in. I suckered him in, just like we're talking about titling a YouTube video with the world's largest fart. I started him off with a happy birthday and some pictures of beautiful women, and then I zapped him with a scientific statement that glaucoma is caused by aspartame, and he got it, and he's dropped aspartame, and his glaucoma went away.
That's right.
You know, but that's what it took to get to these stupid people. You got to set them up with a big fart.
Stubborn.
You got to put a big fart in their head, and then you replace the fart with a little truth, you know?
Mm-hmm. lure him in.
You got to lure him in with a big fart, you know.
So was he using NutraSweet? Like yeah, that kind of stuff?
NutraSweet and fake maple syrup with aspartame, oh, you know.
Yuck.
Yeah, and he said he could see sparks in his eyes when he goes to sleep at night, you know. That's the brain, that's the retina cells dying in front of your, you know.
So. Jesus Christ, I think I had pancakes at a breakfast place once and they served me that stuff, fake maple syrup. I just left. I do a whole show on maple syrup. I love it. I love it, Jim West.
You like fake maple syrup?
No, I love maple syrup, real proper maple syrup. Canada, I think it's actually got compounds in it similar to garlic. It's that's what we use at home. I just love it.
I love it. It's expensive though, you know.
It's expensive. I do. I pay about $10 for a small jar. It's organic, but it's the good stuff. But I'm just saying, yeah, they'll whack it all. They drizzle it everywhere.
Right. I love it.
Golden syrup, I think they call it golden syrup, and it's crappy. But yeah, that's crazy. As it says here, it's a deadly neurotoxic drug.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's what happened to Michael J. Fox. I did hear that because he was hooked on that Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, and he got the that disease, the shaking one.
Oh, Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. He was hooked on that Pepsi. You can see in the original Back to the Future, he's drinking it and showing it to the camera, you know. They were putting it in all those early movies. So those movies were really about, selling the diet soft drinks as well. You have a look at a lot of shows, early shows, even from the 80s and early 90s, they were really pushing it, a lot of TV shows and stuff.
Right. Well, he was a Diet Pepsi spokesman.
That's right. They would have been making him drink cases of the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Everywhere he would go, he would get paid. Like he'd probably get paid every time he drank it in public, you know.
He seems like a nice guy, so I'm sorry. I don't want to. I'm just this is just my opinion.
Well, yeah, he was helping to poison the people, but he didn't know it, though. He didn't know
that's
that.
Right. And I said it was Back to the Future. I was taking some notes on that not long ago, and I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, and there's that in a lot of those films. There's the whole Coke and especially Pepsi, and then the so they're kind of like long advertisements for these multinational companies who place all this stuff in movies, which is of course brainwashing all the people watching it.
Yeah,
but it's just a movie at the end of the day, right?
A third of aspartame is methanol, which is like wood alcohol, you know, and formaldehyde.
Mm. Nice for your stomach lining.
Yeah, and it says it.
Organs.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you can see here, Jim, aspartame and Monsanto as well, and Donald Rumsfeld, so.
Wow. Well, you know
look
what?
These $12 million bonuses, oh, they're just criminals. Oh, we'll put this link up so people can read it. It's quite large.
Yeah. So.
Good article. Huff Post as well. My God, I'm shocked. Great. Let's plug out, Jim. Actually, I had a whole bunch of articles I wanted to go through, but next time. Just on the stupidity of the media, I just wanted to make fun of, have a bit of fun.
Sure.
But I'll save those. It was a whole thing on articles coming out that I've been tracing about how if you question the medical system and vaccines and drugs that you believe conspiracy theories. So they've got all these articles coming out of the media now that people who don't want to vaccinate their kids, they're not listening. So we need to kind of handle them with gloves. And we, you know, these people are a little bit mentally unhinged and there's something wrong with them. And it's just the way the media does that and causes the rest of the zombies in society to look at people who want to go their own way or say no to these things as, potentially kind of crazy people that need to be, you know, handled very lightly. Otherwise, they might blow up and one of them could be living next door to you. And how do we approach these people and make them understand that our way is the only way? Do we have to lock them up in mental institutions?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you about that as well. Goes much deeper, but interesting subject. I heard of it coming out of the US as well. They're doing that in the US newspapers as well, making people seem crazy because they don't want to inject their kids with toxic poisons that could potentially either brain damage them or kill them. they want to protect themselves and their families from medical assault. So they're because of that, they believe in conspiracy theories.
Right.
And they're crazy, very crazy stuff. I think it's just desperate behavior from desperate people that don't have anything left, and there's nothing left in their tanks.
Yeah.
So they're scraping the bottom of the barrel now.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Yeah, good to go over, but great show. And man boobs and a spa time.
Yeah, and hops.
Hops. Interesting. We will plug out and be back again next time.
Right. It's a pleasure.
I will say this is Nightwatch Podcast, and always, always up on crazfiles.com, my website, great independent alternative Australian website with lots going up. So check it out and enjoy. Thanks, Jim West.
Yeah. Take care, Adam.